going to argue technicalities. It's good to be in the house of God tonight, is it not?
Amen.
It is great to be here. I give honor to your bishop and your congregation leader. It's an honor to be in Washington. This is as far west as I've ever been. And I've been told if I go any further, I might fall off the edge. But it's great to be here. I give honor to my pastor and my bishop, Bishop Chester Wright and Pastor David Wright. We are in the midst of revival in Maryland, and God's doing some great things. In fact, I landed and got settled on Monday only to be greeted by the fact that I missed another awesome service Monday night, and I still have not caught up on it yet, but I rest assured I will catch up before I get home. I want to share some things with you tonight. Let me rephrase. I believe the Lord wants to share some things with us tonight. And one of the privileges and responsibilities of being an apostolic minister is that you do not always get to preach things that you do perfectly. I'm sure any of you that are ministers know nothing about that, I'm sure it's just me. I want to share something with you tonight. The Lord dropped into my spirit earlier today, I thought, and as I continued to wait on the Lord, he showed me how it was connected to some other things he's talked to me about in the past. So if you'll go with me in your Bibles, iPads, iPhones, God forbid, Kindles and Nooks, and you are to be rebuked if you have an Android device. I'm just teasing. But seriously. if you go with me in your Bible, do you have Bible on the screen? Is it Troy?
It's Mark.
Mark. I heard Troy somewhere. Is my name Troy? That was you. Okay, Troy and Mark. That's who I met so far. All right, I got to keep track. Thank you, guys. Mark, do we have Bible on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. It's bigger if I read it from the screen. Is that okay with you guys if I read from the screen? All right. It's not Android. No, I saw a MacBook back there, so we're good. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. Everybody say secret.
Secret.
And thy Father, which seeth in secret, everybody say secret,
secret,
himself shall reward thee openly. Next verse, please. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, not the door, thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, everybody say secret, shall reward thee openly. Secretly, openly. I would like to talk to you for a few minutes, if you'll allow me to, on the importance of a secret place. If we could just pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you and we already feel your spirit here. We know you reside here. We ask that you continue to bless us. We ask that you would open up a spirit of revelation to us. Father, I bind every spirit that would hinder, every spirit that would cause accusation and condemn, every spirit that would hinder revelation from coming, I bind you in Jesus' name, and I command you to loose your grip on our minds and our spirits. I loose the gift of faith to be in operation here, that we could not only have seeds implanted in our spirit, but that the word would be automatically activated as soon as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
We live in a society that nothing is kept a secret anymore. Now, I'm going to mention a few social media companies, so don't think I'm bashing them. I am on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and my tag is easy to remember, Isaac J. Middleton, so go follow me. Okay, so I'm not saying that I don't do social media, so just hear me out. Let me get started. I'm sure we'll come together at the end. Nothing is kept a secret. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of man. We live in a society where women actively, daily, regularly wear undergarments outside. We live in a society where men and women together do things in public that should be done inside a home, inside a room somewhere. We live in a society where men with men and women with women are public about their relationships. There was a time when in this country, it would have never happened. But we are where we are. And I believe with all of my heart that with all of the social media we have, there comes a time when we have to look within ourselves and say, what are we really doing with it? Now, we're talking about the importance of a secret place. I was on my Twitter feed today, just scrolling through. And one of the things that I've noticed over time with social media is that whenever we're doing something good, we like to post it. We get instant affirmation from our followers. They will, on Twitter, they will retweet us. On Facebook, they will like our status. And on Instagram, how many Instagram users we got in the house? Don't lie. If you're lying, you're crying. Okay, they like your photo, or they comment on your photo, they try to add to what you've done. But what it creates is it creates a sense of pride. It removes the need for us to keep to ourselves what we would ordinarily keep, like we would keep it to ourselves ordinarily, but now we like to have the instant gratification. For instance, who really needs to know what you had for dinner last night? Hang with me, I'm going somewhere, okay? Who really needs to have a picture taken of two shirts you're looking at the store? Which one should I buy? Have any of you done that? Please say you haven't. Okay, thank you. We're not as bad off as I thought. Okay, that's just in Maryland. People in Maryland do it all the time. Which shirt should I wear? Blue or green? Okay. As humans, we desperately need the affirmation of our peers, those beneath us in social status or age, and those that are above us, in whether they are our elders in age or our elders in authority. But there is something to be said for silence. There is something to be said for solitude. There is something to be said for being in secret. There was a time when you would never hear what people were praying about. There was a time you would never hear what the word from God was that the Lord just gave you. And I'm not saying those things are wrong. But when you take what is meant to be sacred and you publicize it, God can't bless that. Can you please put verse 5 of Matthew 6 back up, please? Thank you, Mark. And can you leave it up, please? And we'll go to verse 6 in a moment. Your reward for revealing what is sacred is the gratification of the flesh. Other than that, God can't bless what you've done. God cannot say, I'm going to take this seed and I'm going to multiply it in your spirit. Because the blessing from God comes from keeping it between you and him. Now, I will be honest, there are some things that I don't keep to myself. My wife is a part of me. I share them with her. And she will critique it. If it's not any good, she'll critique it and be like, you need to think about something else. And normally I don't listen because I'm hard-headed and I'm learning. I'm just being honest. But there are some things that I have felt that God has shown me personally, for me, about me, that I haven't told anybody. And there is no other reason for the fact of verse 6. Can you put up verse 6, please, Mark? But when you pray, enter into thy closet, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God can't bless what you reveal. If you have a personal relationship with him and he is talking to you and you are connected to him, John chapter 15, I believe it talks about the relationship between the branch and the vine and the fruit that comes from that connection. If you have a relationship with God where his presence is constantly living and abiding inside of you, Psalms chapter 91 says, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you have that power, that Holy Ghost consistently operating in and through your life, there will be things that God will show you. There will be things that God will tell you that you don't reveal. There will be things that God talks to you about that maybe he's telling somebody, maybe he's told somebody else in the past, but that's not the point. The point is, it's between you and your Father. When I was a child, my sisters always hated me, mostly because I was the only boy. And as such, they said I was spoiled. I was not spoiled. I wasn't. I got the most spankings in the house. But when it came to treatment from mom, I did favor there. I was the only boy. But there were times when I would pepper my dad and ask him for things. Give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. And finally he'd relent. And I'd get it and I'd just go run through the house. We had a penny candy store about a block from our house in Baltimore, Maryland, when I was a child. So I'd scoop up here. I was mostly asking for change. Scoop up a handful, stick them in the jeans, and go running up the street and come back with a bag full of candy. And my sisters were wanting to know, where'd you get money from? Because they knew I didn't have any. And I would say, Dad gave it to me. He always tells us no. Well, why'd you stop asking? The same is true for our relationship with God. God may not talk to you every day. And this is where I struggle. I want God to talk to me every day. I want something every day. And when he doesn't give me something every day, I struggle. I'm like, okay, Lord, where is my salvation? Am I going to hell today? If I died, I'm a little dramatic. It is my sanguine, phlegmatic personality to be a little over the top, and that's just the way it is. And I talk a lot. Okay, so, you know, I got the microphone a few minutes ago. We could go for a couple hours here. I'm not saying it's all going to be God, but it could happen. It could happen. All right. Where was I? I remember. When God doesn't talk to you daily, or you don't feel that a relationship with God is strong every day, that does not mean that there's no reward for you. It means that there are some days, you know, there were some days when my father may not have hugged me, but I knew he loved me by the way he acted towards me. There were some days my mother didn't hug me. There were some days I went to bed without a kiss on the cheek, God forbid. But there were some days when that happened, and it wasn't because they didn't love me. It was because it was late. We got home. They threw me into bed. I went to sleep, and parents, I know you've done it before. I do it with my kids frequently. But it's not important that we get a feeling from God or that he affirm our relationship between he and I. He is our father. We are his children. That never changes. That should never change. And with that understanding, we should be able to be strong enough in our relationships with him that as his children, when he's not speaking, when we are going through something, we don't automatically question our salvation. It's important that in your secret place, you not go there specifically for something all the time. There are sometimes, and I can't use anybody else's examples but mine, so please bear with me. My father and I have a very, very, very good relationship. And when it's working the way it's supposed to, and normally when it's not working the way it's supposed to, it's my fault. Just putting that out there. So when your relationship with God, when things aren't working right, is generally not God's fault. It's normally your fault. Just putting that out there. But he has an office at Antioch, and it's in the back behind the sanctuary, and it's kind of in a little corner. And I'll sneak in there during the week, and I'll just sit down. Poof. And I'm at his disposal, whether he wants to preach to me, which he normally does. I get all of his messages before they're preached on Sunday. All of them come through my ears. And I get all of the wisdom of God that's flowing through him comes directly to my ears before it gets preached. And I've always considered that an awesome privilege. But I'll sit down in his chair. And it's kind of, I consider it an inspection of sorts, Bishop. I honestly do. And I'll sit down in the chair. I'll have my phone in front of my face. He has a little monitor that he's using to review some old footage of Antioch back in the 80s and 90s. And I'll sit down in that chair, and I'll play on my phone. And intermittently throughout the hour or so that I'm there, we will talk. I'll talk about what's going on in my family. We'll talk about, I'll mention my family's finances, or he'll mention some things going on with my mom and my sisters, or he'll talk to me about his congregation, and I'll mention to him about youth ministry. And he shares, I give him the opportunity to judge me on anything I'm doing. I just sit there and I listen. If he asks for my input, I give it. If he doesn't, I keep my mouth shut. And there are times in our prayer lives, in our secret places with God, where we come to that secret place, we leave the door wide open, and we just come in with our pride and all of our arrogance and accuse God for not doing this, for not doing that, for this and this and this. We don't really give the Father an opportunity to inspect us. We don't really give him the opportunity to judge what we're doing. We give him the opportunity to do everything but that. We want him to be God. We want him to be sovereign in our lives. But in order for God to truly be sovereign in our lives, we must give him the opportunity to judge everything. We must give him the opportunity to look at our pride. For instance, and I'm only saying this because the Lord's making me, I came in and sat down in the back corner. My intention was to stay there until your elder called me up to the front. And as I sat there, I looked up and I realized that it was pride. I felt the Lord show me that it was pride for me to sit back there and watch everyone turn their heads and look at me as I walked all the way down here and came up here to speak. So I said, Lord, I said to my spirit, it was quick. It wasn't like this whole 5-minute argument. It was quick. And he showed me, while they're praying, walk up and sit down on the front row. I came down and sat here. Barely anybody saw me come down. But that's the kind of thing, it's small. Brother Isaac, that doesn't really make that big of a deal. When it comes to your relationship with the Father, Everything is a big deal.
That's right.
Because we try to compartmentalize our lives. Here's my life at church. Here's my life at work. Here's my life at home. Here's my life with my friends. Here's my life when I'm at the gym. Here's my life when I'm with this group of friends. Here's my life when I'm with my church friends. And I'm not saying that we do bad things in those. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we don't really give God the opportunity to rule in every one of those places. Because if we did, there would be no compartmentalization at all. It would all be one life. And God would say, okay, that I don't like. I have allowed God to pick my friends. And my friends are very diverse. Most of my friends are not my color. Most of my friends are older than me. Most of my friends, some of them are single. Some of them have family. Some of them do not. Some of them, I have a friend of mine who is very close to me. He and his wife had not been able to have children. And they are Uncle Johnny and Aunt Angela to my kids. And they are my best friends. And we could not be more, we probably could be more opposite, but I'm not sure what that would be. He and I are different. We're just way different. But God gave me a friend. And I told my wife one day, you know, she and I talk all the time. We talk about everything. And I was talking to her and I said, you know, I don't consider myself to be a powerful man of God. I hope one day the Lord may consider me that way. But, you know, if I have a friend, I want to have a friend who will be a friend enough to me if the Lord tells them something about me in prayer. Because we're all family. If my friend, God speaks to him and says, you know, you need to tell Isaac this because he couldn't tell me, I want to hear that. But also on the flip side, if I'm in prayer and my father communicates something to me that he can't seem to get through to my brother, to my friend, that I, in order for that friend to be truly a friend, when I speak that, they must know that I'm not trying to be, that I'm just standing in the stead of the father. I'm not the father. I'm not judging. I'm their friend. I'm their brother. But this is the relationship that we have. It's a friendship. It is a brotherhood. It is, we are one family. We are one body. But when we are connected to the Father as one, we remove all of the lines of division from our lives. It's all one life, everybody. It's not different sections. Work, family, home, gym. You know, work, family, home, gym, friends. And we all sometimes, and I'll be honest, I haven't got this down perfectly, but there are some times when I don't hear from God in certain aspects of my life, and I wonder why, and it's because I haven't given him the opportunity to. I'll let him talk to me about church. I'll let him talk to me about my family, but I won't let him talk to me about work. I'll let him talk to me about work, but I won't let him talk to me about my family. I won't let him talk to me about church sometimes. What's the reason for that? The scripture here, in verse 6, Mark, thank you for keeping this up, says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door. I personally believe this is a direct reference to pride. When we come into the presence of the Father, pride has to be checked at the door. It has to be left there. Because when we truly enter into fellowship with the Father, our pride cannot be a factor. He has to be able to speak to us about anything. One of the greatest privileges, I consider it a privilege, one of the greatest privileges of my life is to be a minister of the gospel to the church and to the world. I am a minister of the gospel. That's what God has called me to be. But beyond that, my greatest privilege is to be able to hear from God for my family. And I must admit to you, it's not always easy to hear from God for your family because you love them so much. You have dreams and visions for them. You have concerns for them. You know what you want for them. But I have recently begun seeking the Lord for a vision and a promise from each of my children's lives. Not something that I can tell them, but something that the Lord can show me that he's going to use them to do later on in life, what they're going to be. I've asked him to show me something for my wife. I am still currently waiting on all three of those things because I have a wife and two children and a baby on the way. And I personally believe it is a greater privilege to hear from God for my family than it is for you, to hear from God for you. But it's harder. It's harder because of the pride that I have to fight through to get to where I am willing to listen to whatever God has to say for my family. If it's not what I want it to be, even if it's not what they want it to be, I have to get to the place where it doesn't more, where my pride is not a factor. It doesn't matter what I want. It matters what God wants. The same is true for your life. You have to be willing to recognize the Father's voice in whatever you do. You have to be willing to let God say, don't go there. You have to be willing to let God truly direct your path. Let him close the closet doors. Let him open windows of favor. Let him close doors of favor. And let him orchestrate your life however he sees fit. Because above all, we must do the will of God. Whatever the cost is. God's will be done. When you get further down in Matthew chapter 6, we are taught to pray after this manner. Therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then goes on to say some other things. But the important thing for us to understand tonight is that our secret place is sacred. We can't be going around willy-nilly, and some of us, and forgive me, some of us in here, we don't have a secret place. I'm saying us because I want to include myself in that, because as I said earlier, I don't have this down perfectly. I'm just the guy that the Lord said tell him. Some of you, including me, our secret place is non-existent. We don't go there. It's not a secret place if we don't shut the door. If we walk into our prayer closet and forget to shut the door and we just moan and groan about our problems, and then we come out of the prayer closet without having touched the Father, and then the first thing we do, we get on the phone to our friends, or we tell the pastor, the bishop, everything that's going wrong in our lives, all of our struggles, all of our shortcomings. What is the reason for that? The door wasn't shut. It's not a secret place. There are struggles that I've had, and forgive me. There are struggles that I've had in my secret place that I have shared with no one, that only God and I have known about. I may have told my wife some of them, and some of them I haven't, because they were sacred. There were times that I was in a service, and I was wanting a word from God. I wanted a word from God, and I was in the service, and I was seeking for a word from God in my spirit. You have your satellite out and you're just looking, waiting, trying to get the eye of the man of God and send that signal his way. You know that signal you with your eyes and you're looking, but you're not looking? That one, I was trying to send that one to the man of God. It didn't work. And I had said it earlier in the day that I was looking for a word from God. And as I got in the service, and I was still probing the Spirit, because as children of God, we're always looking for God to speak to us, always. And I'm in the service, and people are up at the front getting prayed for. I didn't really feel led to pray for anyone, not because God wasn't leading me, but because I didn't want to. And this is just 2 weeks ago. And the Lord said to me, "You get yours from me. Now go pray for them." Okay. How do you respond to that command? Yes, sir. No excuse, sir. And you go on. And I prayed. I didn't feel anything strong. The Lord just said, "You get yours from me. Now go pray." I obeyed. I'm still waiting for that word that he said he'd give me. But that's when you're in a secret place, that connection with the Father is always there. We wonder, I've often wondered how Jesus was so in tune with the Father. And I tell you, I'll be honest with you, I always thought it was because he was directly a descendant of the Father. Until I started to read the Bible. And Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Mark, can we get that up on the screen, please? We'll probably come back to Matthew 6, though. It says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." Luke chapter 6, verse 12. "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God." Luke chapter 9, verse 18. "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them." But the part that I want to draw your attention to is that first part. He was alone praying. Psalms 91, verse 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And finally, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." I felt that the Lord showed me. Now, I can't speak for you. The Lord showed me the reason Jesus was so in tune with the Father was because he was willing to be alone in prayer. There are some things that you're not going to get any other way than by being alone and praying. There is direction that your pastor can't give you unless you're alone. Pray. Because in prayer, when we close that closet door and it's just he and I, the things that transpire are life-changing because it's just me and him. When I shut my door of pride, I leave my problems outside of that secret place. I leave all of my questions, and better yet, all of my solutions to my problems and all of my answers to those questions. I leave them at the door. I close the door to that secret place, and it's just he and I. It's a soundproof place. Nobody knows what's prayed there. Nobody hears what's prayed there except for the Father. I once heard a man of God say this. There's some things that you can't say out loud in prayer because the devil will hear it and you don't want him to use it against you as ammunition. If you've ever heard that, I'm sorry. But it's a lie. Because when I close the door to my secret place, nobody hears it. I've told my Father, my Heavenly Father, how angry I was with him. How much I abhorred the way he was running my life. And you know what? He did not reject me. He did not tell me that I was no good because of that. In fact, he said nothing. He didn't respond with anger. He didn't respond with an outstretched arm of love. He let me pray. When I finished, I casted it all to him, left my secret place, and closed the door. And the next time that he and I needed to talk about it, you know what? I came back again and said the same thing. But unless you have a secret place, you harbor anger, you harbor bitterness, you harbor unforgiveness towards the Father. Because you don't believe that he's controlling your life the right way. You have no peace in your life. And when you have no peace, you have no hope. You have no contentment. You don't have the ability to have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because your pride is just unchecked. Running rampant, doing whatever it pleases. All because when you didn't shut the door. I believe that the revival and harvest that the end time church will have will come directly as a result of prayers prayed in secret. I believe that there is an end-time harvest that will hit this earth. But it's not going to come unless we are willing to pray in a secret place. I can't tell you how many times I've heard stories of men of God doing great things in the Spirit. But Brother Schoonover, I wonder. This is just me. I wonder how many hours of prayer in secret were prayed prior to those times. This is where I'm at, okay? I'm just giving you the answers that I feel like God's given me. I've asked God when, why, what, where, how. I don't haven't always gotten those answers. But when I get in that secret place, I can't describe to you how priceless his presence is in that place. You think coming to church and worshiping, clapping your hands and feeling his presence is awesome. If you haven't spent time with God by yourself, you are missing out. In the book of Ezekiel, there is a vision that God gave Ezekiel, the vision of the river that came out of the temple of God. And the vision goes, there was water, a river that was coming out of the center of the temple of God, and it was going outward. And as Ezekiel walked, there was an angel guiding him outside of the gates of the temple, and the gates were facing the east, if I'm not mistaken. He was walking out of the temple. He walked out a distance, and the water was to his ankles. He walked out a distance, water was to his knees. He walked out a distance, and water was to his waist. He walked out a distance, and water was to swim in, the scripture says. Maybe you live far from the church. We consider this to be a temple of God, an apostolic church. The further you are from the temple, the deeper your flow can be. Oh, Brother Isaac, that's just, really? I personally believe that I can hear from God better in my house than I can anywhere else. I believe that. That's where I live. I personally demand that my house be a place where I can hear from God. I am not willing to settle for anything less. Why? I spend most of my time there. I'm not going to come home and fight. I'm not going to come home and war and fight spirits every day. When I get home, I want to rest. I want to be at peace. I want to have a clear connection between me and God. There are times I wanted to pray at the church, and I would feel the Lord tell me, Isaac, stay home and pray. Why? What does it matter? It's clearer at the church. Well, it could be clearer at your house. Okay, let's try it. I've tried it. You know, I've done experiments with this stuff. This is my life is one big experiment. I'm sure the Lord is just like trying new things every day. Let's see what we do if we flip this button. Push this button, rather. You don't flip a button. You push a button. But the flow of the Spirit that we have here on Wednesday nights and on Sundays and whenever we meet, we can have a greater flow at home. You want to see your services go from here to here? Pray at home. Cultivate a secret place at home. Cultivate a place where you can pray and spend time with God and minister to you and your needs of your family at home. And then come to church and minister to others. That's what the spirit of ministry is all about anyway. It's not about ministering to our own needs. It's about ministering to the needs of God. And sometimes his needs are ministering to other people. When you're in that secret place, there are times when you will pray and you will have no idea what you're praying about. You will have absolutely no clue as to Lord, what am I praying about? He's just not telling you. You don't need to know. Just pray. Talk to me. Spend time with me. Sometimes in the middle of the night, sometimes I can't sleep. And I'll get up, go downstairs, grab my coffee, and I'll say, okay, Lord, you don't want me sleeping. So what do you want to talk about? You've got me awake for a reason. What do you want to talk about? And there are some days I'll sit there for 15 minutes and fall asleep. I asked. There are some days I'll sit there for an hour or more, and he'll just talk nonstop. It's like, what is this about? I want to go to bed. I want to talk. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. And sometimes in that secret place, I have asked him to choose a better hour. He hasn't changed his mind yet. There's nothing I can do about that. Just go into that secret place. Shut the door. Sometimes I go into that secret place and won't say a single word. Just sit there. Don't speak in tongues. Don't say hallelujah a million times. Don't say 1,000 thank you, Jesus. Don't say, Jesus, no, don't do that either. Just sit there and be quiet. Because when you're in secret, who says I have to talk? I believe it's a communication between he and I. Can we pray for a moment, please? I know it's Wednesday night, and I'm not sure what your traditions are or what you normally do on Wednesday evenings, but I believe there is a spirit of prayer that the Lord wants to give us. The Lord wants to give us a fresh move of prayer among us. I'm not saying it has to be loud. I'm not saying there has to be tears, but there is an impartation of the Spirit that the Lord wants to do tonight. Let's turn our attention to him again in our hearts, in our spirits. In the name of Jesus. Yeshamando re kasia tale ondo robo shatana bahaya. Some of us need to repent to the Lord for our pride. Let's do that right now. Let's talk to the Lord about our pride. Father, forgive me for my pride. The Lord gave us His Spirit to help us. You know, I found that there are some times in the Spirit, you guys can sit down. God bless you in Jesus' name. That there are times when I come to church and I can get a breakthrough when I'm with the body. There are times when I'm by myself, it's really hard to get a breakthrough. And then there are times when I come to church and I still can't get broken through. And when I'm by myself, I feel like I've learned. The Lord, only the Lord can judge. But I feel like I've learned that there are some times when your effort is not what matters. When you just have to allow the Spirit of God to make intercession for you. Amen. Intercession does not originate with the human spirit. Intercession originates from the Spirit of God, and it dwells inside of you. The misconception is that in order to intercede, you have to be screaming, yelling, hollering, snotting, bawling, and crying. That's the misconception. But the truth is I can stand here in the microphone and just speak in tongues and be interceding. Granted, there are times when I do need to be snotting, bawling, squalling, and all over the place. But I've recently become fascinated with the work of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and in our lives. Because not only does the Lord move outside of us, but He moves in us. He's alive. I had occasion to pray with one of our young people at Antioch. The Lord's blessed me to be able to be called one of the youth pastors there for a little over a year now. And we were at Youth Congress just a few weeks ago. And we had a young lady that was with us that she'd been struggling for a while. And the Lord showed me that He was going to do something in her life during Youth Congress. So I was praying with her one night. And I specifically said to her, it's not about your emotions. It's not about your effort. Just all you need to do right now is pray in tongues and just let the Holy Ghost work. I'm not telling you to cry. And I told her this, you don't have to cry. Just let the Holy Ghost work. And it took her a few minutes. She spoke in tongues. And as the Spirit of God began to work inside of her, all of that stuff that had been built up in her spirit, she'd been built up and pent up in her spirit for almost a year, just completely a different person. And she allowed the Holy Ghost to penetrate through all of that stuff. And that was after I had become fascinated. And I was watching this. I'm watching the Holy Ghost, just the Holy Ghost work. I was just standing there, just watching the Holy Ghost work in this young lady's life. And when we finished, her countenance had changed. The next time we had service, she was praying with other people to get their breakthrough. And the sessions after that, she's just been continually building on the work of the Holy Ghost did inside of her that day. It's not important that you come to church all the time. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that you let the Spirit work. You must let the Spirit of God work in you. Now, if you don't come to church, you're probably not letting the Spirit work. Probably. But only God can judge. What does God say about it? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So come to church. And let the Spirit of God work. Elder?